All right, so today we're going to talk about the differences between the real estate market and the, let's say, for example, the United States market or the Chinese market. And this also carries over to other markets, other Western markets like UK and Australia, New Zealand. There's some huge differences in the markets, and these markets cause people to think differently. They cause them to enter into situations with different expectations and different understandings and different beliefs and ultimately different choices. So if you understand why you want to understand this, is if you understand what the Chinese market is like, or at least have some kind of somewhat of an understanding of the market, it will give you an idea of maybe what kind of objections they might have. What kind of information they might need to make a decision, and why they're acting in a certain way. So we'll just go over one by one, and this is by no means a perfect list, but we've got quite a bit of things for you here, so I hope you enjoy it. You might want to take some notes on this one. Okay, so in a market, okay, let's say for example, I'm from Southern California. In Southern California, the market, everybody buys basically, most people buy a piece of land. Most buildings in my hometown in San Clemente are single or two stories. And generally, like even in my neighborhood, my parents' neighborhood, there's a law against building a second story because it blocks the ocean view. So everything's one story. And so coming from that background, you know, where you own land, you have a little, not so much a yard, it's more of a, it's like a balcony or something, and then maybe some flowers out front or something. Small garden, very small garden, and you actually own the land, you own the house. You have to do a lot of upkeep. You know, my parents are always, you know, when I go home, I'm always surprised how much work they do on the house. You know, everybody back home, they go to the DIY shops. They're always buying things. They're always buying tools. They're always painting things. They're always working on their house. And to me, it always surprises me after being in Asia for 24 years because that doesn't happen in China. So, for example, Home Depot just closed up all their stores in China. They completely failed in China. And the main reason was obvious to anybody who lived here and obvious to me was that there is no DIY culture in China. It's more a DIFM, do it for me, you know. And so there'll be certain workers who their job is to fit out properties, and that's what they do. Nobody does it for themselves. People that can afford a property, they have money, and they're not going to do that kind of thing. And this is not a generalization. This is an absolute fact. Okay, this is an absolute fact. People, there's no DIY in China, period. Yeah. So that influences everything. Well, here in China, it influences like retail a lot because you generally have these huge areas of town where it's like all industrial, and everybody, the workers go there and buy stuff, and then they come and refit. Also, in China, one big difference is when you purchase a property, you tend to buy a concrete box. Okay, so there'll be like a, let's say the, like right now I'm in a 32-story apartment. Yeah, there's 32 stories in this building, and each floor has four apartments on it, and each apartment is exactly identical. So when you get the place, it's just a concrete box. You have to put in the kitchen, you have to put in everything. Then you have to furnish it. So when a Chinese, let's say from mainland Chinese, when they buy a property, it's completely new. It's a completely, there's a lot of things they don't understand. There's a lot of things they've never thought about. And upkeep is a big deal that they're going to be wondering about how to do it, what who does what. They're not going to be the handyman. They're going to be one of, you know, need somebody else to do their landscaping and keep, you know, when the electrical has a problem, they're not going to fix the water heater. You know, they're not going to fix the roof. They're generally not even going to paint, or they're not going to want to paint, or never have painted before. So these are the things that you might think about as property management possibilities or companies that you can introduce that would do these services for these people. Okay. Let's say another thing is, okay, when I buy a property here, okay, or when I sell a property here in China, There'll be, let's say, everything is by, not by address, it's by street. So there's like this street and that street, that corner. That's how they keep track of things. They'll say the corner of Yuyuan Road and Beijing Road, and everybody knows exactly where that building is. If you say 2707 Beijing Road, no one's gonna know what you're talking about. You have to say what's the two streets. So the buildings are very clear. They're generally pretty large. A lot of the complexes here in Shanghai, for example, have 1,000 apartments or more. And every apartment is exactly the same, except for the direction it faces. So every apartment from first floor up to whatever floor it is, if they're like the corner apartment, they're all exactly the same. And so naturally, it took me a while actually to figure this one out, but people don't, and I just heard it perfectly from my friend here, is that they don't fall in love with properties in China. It's a different thing. You buy a property, it's completely different thought process, it's different purpose. I know, like on HDTV, I was on HDTV, I was featured on there as the realtor for Shanghai, and a lot of the fun of the show is that it's human nature. It's like what do you value? How do you look at life? Right, and you're looking at what the decorations and the landscaping and the everything, the artwork of the place and everything. It's very unique, right? And well, it's, of course, mainly for secondhand properties, but there's a lot of that in built into U.S. For example, real estate market. In China, if you're on the corner of Beijing Road and Yuyuan Road, and you're on floor 16. You know exactly what you're getting. So Chinese will tend, like for example, to buy a property without ever seeing it because it doesn't matter. They know exactly what it's going to be. They know exactly the building, they know the floor, obviously, and they know exactly what they're going to be able to see out of the window, and they know what the value is, and they know how Chinese people think about the building. It's much easier to guess the price of a property if you have 1,000 apartments that are all exactly the same. Right, so it's not. There's not a lot of. There's a couple of websites here that give you, kind of. They estimate the value of an apartment, like a Zillow. You got in the U.S., but here it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. That one website that does it is funded by a venture capital in the U.S. So, Chinese, it's not a big deal. Pretty easy to figure out what the value of an apartment is here, and so. That's going to be in people's mind is it's complex. You're talking about it's a different level of it's a magnitude of complexity actually purchasing a property over there, and you want to give as much help as you can so that your buyer can make the right decision, right? You want to give him the good advice so that he understands, okay, so when I sell this place and here's what I'm going to get, I'll get more if I have this and less if I have that. So you want to give as much education and not assume. You don't want to assume that they know because they probably don't know. Okay, another big thing is the way houses are sold in China, because you have one, let's say, one big residential complex with 1,000 apartments, for example. It's very common to have a sales office with sales staff running around throwing brochures in your mailbox, handing them out on the street, every advertising. A lot of advertising. You can afford to do it when you have 1,000 apartments or 400 apartments. You can afford to advertise, and you have a budget for it. When you're selling one house in Omaha, you don't have the budget, right? You're only selling one house, and the house next door is a completely different animal. In China, it's not like that. So they tend to have sales offices. They have young salespeople who are very aggressive. They might do a lot of cold calling. They might, hand out flyers like mad, like I said, and generally get in your face and again and kind of trying to hit you up for that to purchase in that complex. Also, the complexes have shared facilities, so they'll have a garden inside that is very important to a Chinese family. The garden is the purpose of the garden. If you look at let's say there's four buildings, right? You have four buildings in a square. In the very middle, you'll have a Chinese garden, and that garden is really important because Older people, they say the grandfathers and grandmothers of the family, they will go in the morning down inside the complex to the benches down there, and they will drink coffee, or not sorry, drink tea, and they will talk to their friends every morning. And they'll spend quite a bit of time there instead of going outside to a park or something. It's very safe. It's like, it's like you're close to home. Your grandfather's down there. If anything happens, everybody knows who he is. It's easy to, figure out where he is. You can even call at the window sometimes. If he doesn't have a phone, you can, it's easy to find him if you need to catch up to him. And that difference in the design causes a big difference in how people use the property. So the other thing is because the properties are large and they have a budget, there's a lot of events, okay, sales events in China. There are exhibitions or expos. There's really nothing like that that I know of overseas. In the U.S. or Canada or U.K., there's just not as much of a organized sales event. Here they'll rent a convention center, and they'll have maybe either one complex or several complexes. They'll be giving out prizes and presents, and there'll be maybe models or singers or some guy with a sword or some kind of entertainment. There's all kinds of possibilities, but essentially it's a large event with a lot of people, and they're spending a lot of money. That event, that type of thing doesn't tend to be so popular in other areas. So another thing is how the properties are measured. How big are they? Okay, in the US you have feet, right, and inches, and in China you have centimeters and meters and millimeters. So if you ever wondered, it's very easy these days to convert metric to what do you call that, standard US measurement? I don't know, I forget what it's called. But either way, to convert metric to US measurements. So feet to meters is easy to measure. So for example, just to give you an idea, 1,000 square meters is about 92.9 meters squared. Okay, so you use that, obviously 2,000 is 185, and you can easily figure out, you can on the fly, you can calculate. So because the Chinese buyers, they will not know feet. They will, period, they will not know feet unless they've lived in the US. I personally, I've been over here. I don't know feet, actually. I know meters. I've been over here so long. So another big difference, okay, is the way that properties are sold. Okay, you have in many countries. Okay, they're starting to have in Japan and a lot in the U.S. and Canada. There's an MLS system, so everybody puts the listings on one big database, and it's easy to compete with another. A big company can compete with a small company, because there's a multiple listing system. The information is accurate, the information is up to date, and that it's actually for sale, and it's easy to see that what's going on. It's transparent. Afterwards, there's data. You can see what it sold for. And in China, there is no MLS, period. There's no MLS. You have to figure it out. When I started my business here, we had to basically start making friends and networking and figuring out who had listings. And when we had a certain client, we had to find out who had a listing for that type of client. There's not all the apartments are not all the houses are apartments here. There's also old historic houses and villas, which are more like standalone homes in overseas. But there's these things are not listed anywhere, so it requires, because that it changes your skill. What do you need to do in China is you need to network. So you need to network and you need to have friends. Otherwise, you won't have any listings. You might have a client, but you can't get them a house. So that's a very big difference. And all these things I'm telling you about, I'm going to wrap it all up at the end, and you'll see why this stuff matters so much. But for now, just good to memorize these things. Okay. Chinese tend to buy new properties. They like new properties. They don't like used properties, old properties. Now, these days, historic properties are getting popular. So, 100 years is something that was built in the 20s, that would be popular. But something that's built in the 80s, something that's built in the 90s, is not popular. There's a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons is that when China was closed and it was completely communist, a lot of the quality of the buildings was terrible. And, you know, maybe no toilets, maybe, you know, terrible wiring. And there was a lot of issues. So that's one of the big things that's fueling the boom now, is the boom is for new properties. So people are putting up new properties. So I don't know if it's cultural or because of the situation with the lower quality older buildings, but I think it's a lot of things. There's a lot of traditions in Asia and beliefs, and more like a mysticism. So belief in ghosts, for example, a belief in bad numbers, bad luck numbers, good luck numbers, things that are good luck and things that are bad luck. You know, every single Chinese holiday or whatever is around either, it's usually around good luck, around getting good luck. And so that influences your buyer. The quality of agents in China, or the, I don't know what you call it, but the level of agents, the type of person that is a real estate agent in China, is different. You know, in China, a lot of agents are completely not educated in real estate, believe it or not. They might be 18 years old, they might be from a small city, and they came to Beijing or Shanghai, and they want to get a job and whatever they want to get a job in, but it didn't work out. And so they end up in a commission job, or almost straight commission job, in real estate. You know, a lot of the people we've hired have been like that. And whenever we partner with agents, a lot of the agents are fairly young. Now, there are professional agents in China, and more there's professional companies that train their employees and give, you know, something like NAR training, where they're teaching them how to be realtors, they're teaching them the laws, they can write contracts, but it's still very, very new. And most agents in China are very young, and they have no education in real estate at all. And the only thing they learned on the job. So that influences a lot, because why is that important to you? It's very important because if you were, let's say you're the Chinese buyer and you were dealing with, you know, real estate agents your whole life, and they've never been professional. They've always been fly by night. You know, they're like migrant workers. They quit, they go, they come back. They don't have any training. They can't answer your questions. They can't write a contract. They might tell you something that's not true. You know, what would you think about agents? You know, you probably wouldn't think much, right? So when they come overseas, you know, part of your goal is you want to show them from the very beginning that you're a professional agent. I think that's a really key thing. You want to make it clear that agents in the U.S., it's a serious profession. They're licensed. You know, there's everybody does training. If you do any kind of training, you want to tell them so they understand that, you know, you've been trained in this, you've been trained in this, you've been trained in that. And also with your basic your demeanor. Right? Are you on time? Are you dressed nice? You know, for Chinese agents, I don't think it's a bad idea to be dressing a little bit nicer than you would be usually. You know, because put on your best shirt, put on your best jacket, give a good impression, let them know that you're not a fly-by-night agent. You're a serious agent. You've been doing it for 30 years. You've been doing it for 20 years, and you know your market, and you could help him, right? It's not an impossible thing. It's fairly easy to change the mind. It's a new country, it's a new way of looking things, but it's up to you to show that that's how you are. And then they will say, okay, this is a different business here in China. And you might even want to say it directly. It's different here. You know, we're licensed, we can be sued and all that. In China, an agent being sued is not going to happen. The company could be sued. It's feasible. The boss could be sued. But generally, the agent is personally not going to be sued or liable. So the company's liable. Okay. Another big difference is ownership of land. When China became communist in 1949, the government started to take the land and eventually ended up being the sole land holder, and still even today remains to be that way, as the sole owner of land in China is actually the Chinese government. The only thing that the people or the companies will be buying is they'll be buying a long-term lease from the government. And that generally is 70 years from the development time of development. So the value of land goes down essentially as it gets closer to the end of the lease. Now, nobody knows how it's really going to work out in the end, but there's a lot of uncertainty because of this. So people don't own land. So, you know, for some buyers, not everybody, but some buyers, they really want to own land. I wouldn't go overboard with this one. You know that all Chinese want to do this, but just so you know that this is sometimes a situation. But it's always a situation that they don't own the land and now they can own the land. So I'm sure that gives them some good feeling, you know. Coming from my perspective, I think Chinese, they're happy because it's easier to turn over to their son or daughter when they pass away. And you know, a lot of good things about that. So that's part of the reason it motivates some buyers. But like everything, don't exaggerate it. You know, don't put too much focus on it. Okay, let's see. Because, you know, there's no MLS, right? There's also no exclusives. So you might find 10 or 100 agents with the same property in China. So because of that, you'll have buyers tend to play the agents off of each other, you know, or, you know, trying to get a better deal or cut down the commission. Or they'll think of how they can somehow game the system to their advantage, right? Naturally, you know, you have to explain that this is not how it is. You're the exclusive agent for this property, and if anybody purchases this property, it has to come through you. Or, you know, you'll be paid anyway. You'll be part of the process with this property, and just explaining that, letting them know that these are exclusives, and I'm trusted to, you know, handle this property. And you know, they don't know about open houses. There's not a lot of open houses here. They do happen. I've done a couple, but they're not really that common. They are with the better agents, actually. There's some open houses here. There's less, because of all the things I've talked about, there is a lot less trust. Well, there's a lot less trust in general, but there's less trust in the Chinese real estate market. You know, they don't expect the agent to be that professional. They don't expect them to tell. They might not be that surprised if they heard something that wasn't true. There's less trust, even if the guy's telling the truth. So that's something that you have to build up, and you have to try harder. Just show them, you know, like I was saying, you know, wear nice clothes and speak slowly, speak clearly, be on time, look them in the eye, very important, and just be basically trustworthy, and you'll be fine. You know, they'll quickly figure it out. It's different. Okay, Chinese, you know, the name of this product is China Cash Buyers. And that's because a lot of Chinese buy in cash. Now, I don't know how long that'll go on, and if that'll go on forever, I'm not sure. But because people purchase in cash, and that makes it, things move quicker. Things move quicker. There's not the approval process time. And so the bank doesn't need to study if they're going to loan against that property, if they trust, you know, that property, and then also the buyer. So when there's cash, it happens fast. So things can move really quick in the Chinese market. And how that affects you, why that matters to you, is that the Chinese buyer might come on a short trip, and he might expect to be able to purchase a property, go back to China, and it's done. And it's up to you right away to tell him, this is not the way it works. Here's what happens first. Here's what happens second. And you have to break the bad news. You have to let him know. You have to, again, you have to educate him. You have to tell him, okay, here's the process. It could be up to 120 days, or it could be up to, you know, whatever. Let him know the good and the bad. And, you know, don't expect that he knows how long the process is, what the risks are, and all that. You have to explain it to him. And just like all these things, you want to just have it a checklist with everything I'm saying now. You just checklist. Okay, check, 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 and let him know. One real surprising thing to me in the Chinese market was we were writing a contract for the first apartment we sold here. And I was saying, you know, I was trying to, we were, you know, tweaking the contract. And what I found out was they actually allowed us to. And then when we sold the property afterwards, I found out that essentially what happens is there's a Chinese government contract for any transfer of real estate. And that contract is the default contract. So if there's ever a problem, it's going to go back to the standard Chinese government's contract. And that's it. you write whatever you want on the contract, but if there's a problem, it's going back to the original government standard contract. Now, the good news is in China is that the contract's pretty fair. So, you know, it's not a big deal to people, but your buyer, he's not used to dealing with a lawyer or, you know, all the, you know, rigmarole that happens in a country that all contracts are different. You can do whatever you want. And anything that people, two people agree on, that's the way it is. So that requires a little education. Like I said before, one of the best ideas you can do is you can have a Chinese lawyer involved. The Chinese lawyer can explain, here's the way it works here, and that he's on your side, and he's going to fight for your side. And also, you have to explain to him that you're on the, for example, the buyer's side, is that your job is to protect him, and that there's also a seller side. That generally doesn't happen in China. There might be a person on the buyer's side, there might be a person on the seller's side, but the only kind of meaning of that in China is just that they're going to share the commission. It's not exactly, I don't think there's the same amount of protection. You know, it's like there's no training, for example, so not buyer side, seller side training. They're just basically trying to sell the property. That's another thing you want to tell them about. Okay, now how does a couple last points here is, okay, you got a very fast moving market in China. You got people are paying cash. You have a very streamlined process. They go to the Land Transfer Bureau. It's a government bureau. That gets the process done. And it's basically, there's no surprises. There's not a lot of study needed. You don't need a real estate lawyer following you around. You're basically done. Because the market's fast, okay, and also because there's 1.4 billion people here, the people are they're used to it being fast. That affects a lot of things. Like, so for example, websites. Websites are based on, listings being accurate, listings being, up to date. You know, there's information you can search on MLS and you can see what's available and the price and all the, everything. When things move fast, they don't have time to put it online. And so that's what happens, is a lot of listings that you see online in China are already out of date. So that property's already been sold. So it's a combination of two things. One is the amount of people here, and that is just, we're talking about 1.4 billion people. So you compare that to the US with 365 million or something, 1.4 billion, that is a lot of people. And it brings a lot of unpredictability to the market. Who's gonna come in the door next? Nobody knows. Things move fast, online listings are not true. That also leads to less trust of online listings. And in the US, obviously, the MLS is very accurate, and it can tell them exactly what they need to know. So you can show them that and let them know, and just slowly educate. They'll figure it out. And that's basically it. So these are some of the differences between the U.S. real estate market, Canadian real estate market, and the Chinese real estate market. And think about these things. Think about what they mean to your buyer, and when they come up, you'll know what to say that will make your buyer comfortable and will teach him what he needs to know so that he can make a smart decision. And if you help them make a smart decision, that he will possibly buy more properties, he will possibly bring in referrals for you, and he might even do a lot of other things. Like we were talking about this before, but a lot of the buyers are not just buying houses. They're opening up offices. They're starting companies. They might be opening up a restaurant. And there's all kinds of other things that can happen when you do a good job with the Chinese buyer. So do your best. Explain things like crazy. Always expect they don't know, but be ready if they do know. And be prepared. Have all your data right. You know what it is in meters. You know what it is. You know how to explain something that the buyer can understand quickly. What's going on. And the last thing is the timeline. The timeline is very important to let them know how long it's gonna be. It's gonna take this long, you're gonna have to make one more trip, because you're going back tomorrow and you're gonna have to make one more trip and maybe two more trips. You have to be very upfront with that so he knows, okay, here's what I have to do. And then it's a good chance to get to know the buyer better too. You have plenty of time.